this song, we're going to press on. It won't be long. Everybody stand, everybody sing. 374.
Thank you.
up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, while Christ my Savior weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save us from endless mourning. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, sing now I hear on Calvary. Father, forgive them, thus he did pray, and while his life's blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but
shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky. Not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit on His feet, or we'll walk by His side. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I'm bringing a message. I'll title it, How to Have Christmas 365 Days a Year. It's found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm just going to read one verse. And I'm going to tell you this morning how you can have Christmas 365 days every year. Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39 said, this, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I want to read that verse to you one more time. I want you to look at it real closely. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said this in verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. In other words, if you're going to find out what life is all about, you've got to forget your life. You listen? He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, Father, Christmas is a wonderful time. Lord, about 3 days ago, Father, we celebrated your birth. We had a wonderful time, and we exchanged gifts, and we did things sometimes normally we don't do in any other time of the year. But Father, I pray that this message this morning, Lord, would encourage our hearts. Lord, I pray, Father, that this message would take the blues out of Christmas. That this message, Father, Lord, would encourage us to serve you, to give more of ourselves for your sake. Bless this message, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Christmas is certainly a wonderful time of year. It's a time where most of us, a lot of our attention on others. I guess that's one thing that I like the most about Christmas is that we focus, most of us focus our time and our thoughts and attention to others. It's a time where the clerks of the stores get a little extra attention. It's a time where the firemen repair the toys and give them away, and you bake cookies and cakes and maybe give them to your neighbors. It's a time where people share with one another. It's a time when we give to one another. Now, Christmas is a season when we take baskets of fruit and toys to the underprivileged, to the shut-ins, like we did here a week ago. It's a time we take food to the hungry. It's a time we wish happiness to everyone. It's a time when people are kinder. It's a time we give, you know, extra tip or lay extra money there at the table at the restaurant for the waitress or the waiter. Or maybe you give a little dollar or give a little extra money for the curb hop feller there at R.O.'s Barbecue. All of a sudden the blind man down the street becomes the object of attention at Christmas time. Amen. We sort of seek out the blind. The hospitals are visiting more around this season of the year. The deaf people are not overlooked. The poor people are not overlooked. The shut-ins are visited more. The rest homes are given more attention. The prisoners at prison maybe are given more attention. We seem to be nicer and more courteous than any other time at Christmas time. I was blessed last week when I heard that some of our ladies went down the street and went to some shut-in people and went to some homes and did some Christmas caroling. That blessed my heart. And nothing blesses me more than to hear you or hear to see you give and to love other people, because that's what Christianity is all about. Amen. It's about giving. It's about loving other people. I wish I could tell you all the wonderful things that our people here at this church have done for others. And if I had the time, I'd do that. I thank God for the crowd that we have here. I thank God for you people here that you do love people who are unlovable. And you do care for those that are uncaring for. And I thank God for the things that many of you have done this past month and even this week for the other people. I think probably one of the most caring preachers that I know is Dr. Jack Hyle. He wrote a poem that I heard many, many years ago, and I want to read it to you because it speaks to my heart, and I hope it will speak to your heart. He wrote this poem. He said, "Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live for Thee." Now, folks, I think that's what Christianity is all about. I think that's what Jesus was saying in chapter 10 and verse 39. He said, "Lose yourself, forget yourself, and you'll find yourself. Others, Lord, yes, others, this our motto be." If we'd ever have a motto and a banner here at the Bright Light Baptist Church, it ought to be one word: others, others, Lord, others. Now, Christmas is so special. Now, I don't know how it was for you, but the night before Christmas Eve, I was in my study, which is a little building behind my house, and I was up about 4 hours trying to put together a soccer, one of these foosball tables. And I was by myself. That thing weighed about 200 pounds, and man, I had sweat dripping off my face, and boy, my back got to hurting, and I got the heartburn, didn't have no Rolaids down there, and I was just having the time. But it's still special because I knew how excited the kids were going to be when they woke up, you know, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And my kids are older now, and they sleep a little later, thank God. But when they were younger, they wouldn't hardly go to sleep. Jordan today, he'll sleep at the edge of the hallway upstairs right at the first step. He did that the other night. I mean, it's a special time. The kids get up, we all wake up, you know, and we open up the presents, you know, that we forgot to put together, or we bought things that we forgot to buy batteries for, you know, things like that. This year, I bought $20 worth of batteries to make sure we had plenty of batteries. We only used 4 of those $20 worth of batteries. Anyway, it's a special time. I mean, you find mom, you eat all day long. Amen. I ate 2 big meals Christmas Day at my wife's mother's and at my mother, and I was like a butterball turkey. Amen. I really was. Stuffed to the gills, you know. And then, and man, I tell you what, it is a special time. And then around about 9, 10 o'clock, you know, everything, you know, it starts getting kind of different. It gets kind of hard. Your belly's full and your children's worn out. That empty feeling comes on Christmas night, you know. It's all over. I mean, that beautiful tree that's filled with gifts is now empty. You know what I'm talking about. You're getting this, aren't you? I mean, your tree's empty today. It's probably still up like my tree, but it's empty. Those dirty dishes in the sink, you know, pieces of paper on the floor or popcorn or candy or something. The tree is now forsaken. Everyone departs to their own room, and then that lonely feeling comes over you. I looked at some of your faces here this morning. I mean, lonely. I mean, pitiful looking. Like somebody whooped you or took the candy right out of your mouth. And I guarantee you, there are some that are home that ought to be church this morning, and they're just depressed and snowed under. The tree is empty. The dishes are dirty. All the gifts are gone. The worst feeling to have is when you scan over your checkbook and find it's empty. That's the worst feeling. And then you realize, hey, Christmas it took us 6 months to get to Christmas. Now it's all over with. Yeah. We're lonely. But here's what happened. For a few days now, before Christmas, you found the answer to life. Before Christmas. For a few days, you really found the answer to what life is all about. You spent an entire year trying to be happy and not depressed, and now for about 5 or 6 days you thought about a poor family down the road. You got happy. Amen? You thought about a blind lady across the road or something. Or you thought about a deaf person in their home, or a poor widow woman, or fatherless children, and you know, shopping to me is very materialistic and secular, but nevertheless, you thank God at Christmas time you did think of somebody besides yourself. Amen. So you said what, you know, you probably said, what shall I buy Uncle Dan or Aunt Sue, or what's her favorite colors, or what's his favorite colors, and what shall I buy for Cousin George? You see, what happened before Christmas was this. Your mind was on somebody else beside yourself, and you were happy. You were happy. You found the secret to depression. You found the secret to unhappiness. You found the secret to your emptiness. Look, there's no secret at all. It's found in Matthew chapter 10 here and verse 39, where Jesus said, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it. For my sake shall find it." That's what Jesus was saying. When you got your eyes on someone else, when you got your thoughts on someone else, you forget how you feel. It makes you happy. You were happy for a while, but now all of a sudden you've got melancholy and empty because you've got back to only receiving again. You opened your own presents, it left you melancholy, and it left you empty. You were happy buying and giving to others. Boy, that's strange, but you were. You were thrilled that you was able to get mother something, or get your father something, or your children something, or a close friend something. You were happy and thrilled. But what really happened is that for a few days you found the answer, but then you lapsed back into selfishness. That's the marks of pride. The marks of pride is selfishness. And you're not happy when you're selfish. You're happy when you're helping others. You're happy when you've got your eyes on others and trying to do for others. That's when you're the happiest. I'll never forget the rest home ministry I had years ago, back when I worked in Charlotte, Duke Power Company. Every Wednesday, we'd take our 1 hour for lunch and go to the Charlotte Community Hospital, which is tore down now. They built the football stadium there where it's at now. And we would go take our lunch hours, and the happiest time of my week is when I went to that rest home and took my little testament and took my song book and sung and read scripture to those poor folks in the rest home. You get more than what you get when you go to those places. You see what happened after Christmas? You've lapsed back into selfishness. Now all you're thinking about is yourself. What will I get? Now, what am I going to eat after church? How will I feel? What will I do? What will it mean for me? For a few days you have lived, and the real answer of what life is all about, you were blessed because you gave. You were happy because you helped others. You were not depressed because of others. Others became the focus of your attention. Our biggest problem is ourselves. The time that I'm the most miserable is when all I'm thinking is about myself. But when I get to thinking about somebody else, or if I go to someone and try to encourage them, it helps me to make me happy. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, you got to lose your life to find life. Yeah. Forget yourself. Forget yourself and think about others. Yeah. For my sake, Jesus said. Now, then comes the day after Christmas. Boy, we like that. The garbage can is full, and the dogs have gotten in the garbage. You got garbage in your yard this morning? I've got boxes in the garage. I've got boxes in my study. We got boxes. Y'all need any boxes? Come to the Reese's house. We'll give you some boxes. I mean, the garbage cans are full. I mean, maybe you burn your trash. I don't know what you do, but it's maybe ashes all over your yard. I don't know what it is. The garbage collector wishes he was a plumber when he comes to your house. Amen. I mean, good gracious, like, back to the work I go. Why? Because I owe, so off the work I go. Right? But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The day after Christmas is December the 26th. Is that not right? That blind lady still needs help on December the 26th. Not just on December the 25th, but on December the 26th. That poor little child still needs somebody to love him. That poor little child that has only a mother and doesn't have a father still needs a little encouraging and a little pat on the head. Amen. That poor family will wake up on December the 26th still hungry.
I mean, troubled people are still with us on December the 26th. There are men that are still in prison that still need you on December the 26th. Rest homes are still full. I was at one just yesterday, and you know what? It was full. I mean, even after Christmas, December the 26th, there were still lonely, poor, shut-in, rest home people in the rest home. They were there. The hospitals are still full of sick people on December the 26th. Lost souls still need Jesus on December the 26th. Now listen to me. Now listen. Happiness is not found in unwrapping presents. Happiness is found in wrapping presents. Oh, let me tell you, I bought my wife a keyboard. She didn't know it. I got one on her this year. I mean, I pulled a good one on her. I bet I told 20 lies. God forgive me. But she had no idea I had that keyboard. Nobody did. Man, I pulled a good one on her. Boy, we woke up Christmas morning and I had that thing in the back of her car, Brother Ronnie. She didn't know it. She didn't know it. I mean, I did some things to her. She didn't know what hit her Christmas morning. I woke up and I done got the kids' stuff ready, and Jordan, he was on the edge of the up there at the hallway asleep, and Jordan and Anna and Ben was up there asleep, you know, and my wife woke up. I thought I'd get all this ready before she woke up, but she woke up. Here she come. I thought, good gracious, I got to get that keyboard out. And so she woke up, she came downstairs, you know, and I thought, woman, I wish she'd go back upstairs. About that time God touched little Katie, got her squealing a little bit. There goes Mama. Go get little Katie. I knew that'd do it. Amen. And then that time I went back to the car, grabbed that keyboard like this, you know, got a stand in a chair like this, laid that thing I'd bought. I went to the florist and I bought about an 8-foot bow. I mean a big old red bow. I mean, that thing cost me $6. Don't go to the florist to get a bow. That thing is that big around, had stringers on, about 4 foot long, and I put that thing on that electronic keyboard. And I put that thing on that thing, and then I had her. Then here she come back, but I didn't have everything set up in the garage. We got a door that goes from my house to the garage. And I said, honey, take this video camera. And I said, I'm going to go in here, and I said, you let the kids come in here, and you film them. Well, about that time, here come the kids, and they went out there in the garage, and I got them a ping pong table. And they go, oh, look at that. And there was the keyboard. Now, my wife had the camcorder. I tell you what, I had the best time preparing for that gift like you wouldn't believe. Hey, I mean, it's more fun wrapping the gift than unwrapping the gift, unwrapping the gift. It's a lot more fun preparing and sneaking around and doing something for someone you love. Hey, it made me happy. I mean, she was thrilled to death because I gave her something she didn't know she was getting. You see, happiness is not found in eating all the Christmas food. Happiness is found in buying and preparing the food. Hey man, you ladies, you go buy nuts and chocolate and marshmallows and caramel and graham cracker crumbs. That's why we fat, because you women. Man, you go to the store, you know, and you bite your way through that crowd because you mixing up those candies and those cookies and those cakes for those people that you love the most. And you, man, that's when you was happy preparing and cooking that meal. And when it's all gone, you know, it's not the eating of it, it's preparing of it. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. 10,000 times more blessed to give. When I say to someone, I love you, it makes me feel good. I forget my problems and I think about loving them. It makes me feel good. That's what Jesus was saying. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You ain't going to never know what life is all about until you lose your life. And the way you lose your life is you think about others. You do for others. It's more blessed, Jesus said, more blessed to give than to receive. When I give to God and others, it makes me feel content and happy all over. I remember when I was in first grade, my first grade teacher at Abernathy Elementary School over here in Gastonia, they tore the old school down now. My elementary school teacher was Mrs. Shook. She was my school teacher. Did anybody have Mrs. Shook? You did, Buster? Did you really? Okay, all right. You went before I did, didn't you? That's why she looked so wore out when I got there. Anyway, Mrs. Shook, we'd sit down at Christmas time and we'd spend a whole month just preparing a Mother's Day card or a Christmas card for Mom and Daddy. And we'd work on that Christmas card. We'd take glue and glitter, you know, and crayons, you know, and I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom and Dad. You'd work all month long in the first grade, that little old card. And man, and the teacher would help you. You'd take and wrap that thing up, and then you'd take it to Mama. And you'd give her that, Mama, that card, and she'd open up that card, and she'll read that, maybe a tear in her eyes, and she'd grab you by the head and kiss you on the head. I tell you what, that was happiness for that little child. Jordan sometimes comes home with a little old card or something, let Mommy, I love you, and Diane, she'll smile or she'll cry a little bit, and she'll hug Jordan, and boy, he'll grin from ear to ear, that little rascal. Hey, that's what Jesus was saying. If you want to know what life is, lose yourself with others. Lose your life so you can find what life is all about. That's what He said. Boy, I tell you what. It's given to others that causes us to have Christmas 365 days a year. What is Christmas to you? Is it receiving or is it giving? If Christmas is when I get you something, then I can have Christmas anytime I want to have Christmas. That means if I want to, I can have Christmas today. Yesterday, I went and visited a lady way over here in the country over in Cherville. You know what I had yesterday? I had Christmas. She wasn't there, but I took the little card and the money in the card, and I opened up the door and I just stuck it right there in her door. But you know what I had yesterday, Brother Ronnie? I had Christmas. I mean, if Christmas is given, then we can have Christmas 365 days a year, can we not? It does not have to end December the 25th or the 27th, which is my birthday, or January the 1st. We can have Christmas July the 4th. Hey, let's have Christmas July the 4th. Amen, we can. Amen. Hey, I mean, if Christmas means giving and putting our attention on others and telling others we love them and showing our love and appreciation, we can have Christmas 365 days a year. Amen. Now, fellas, don't wait till the anniversary to give your wife something nice. You don't have to wait till the anniversary to do it. You can do it today. Amen, ladies? You can take your wives out today to eat. Amen? You can do it tomorrow. I mean, you can have an anniversary every day. You can have Christmas 365 days a year, and you can know, find out what life is all about by losing your life. Find it. Jesus said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, if you will forget yourself, forget being served, just serve. Forget receiving and give. Forget unwrapping and wrap. Forget being pampered and pamper. Amen. Some of you always want somebody to pamper you. Well, when's the last time you pampered somebody else? Some of you, all you want is somebody to pat you on the back. Well, when's the last time you patted them on the back? Some of you are saying, well, I wish that somebody would come visit me. I wish some of my family would come visit me. Well, when was the last time you went to their home and visited them? Amen, preacher. I mean, Jesus, He's nailed it on the wall right here in verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Find what? Find that happiness. Find that abundant life He talked about. Forget being loved and loved. Forget being cared for and care for others. Happiness is not finding yourself. Happiness is losing self. That's what happiness is. Where is happiness found? That's a good question. In the department stores? No, it's found in the rest homes. Where's the happiness found? Is it at Carowinds, young people? No, I don't think so. It's probably in the ghettos of Gastonia, Bessemer City, Cherville, and Dallas. That's where happiness is found. Where's happiness found? Is it found in the movie theater, the show guns, or the restaurants? No, it's found on knocking on somebody's door and winning somebody to Jesus. That's where true happiness is found. I wish you'd get this. Jesus said, you've got to lose your life. You've got to forget what you want, what you want to do, and how you feel. You forget that, transfer that energy onto someone else. Jesus said, you've found true happiness. That's what happiness is. I'm going to try to keep you from blowing your brains out in the next couple of days. What I'm trying to help you. There'll be more people committing suicide the next month than any other time of the year. There'll be more people getting drunk and on drugs and spending more money than they got and laying out of work and laying out of church more in the next few weeks than any other time of the year. You know what? They're selfish. All they think about now is their self. For a while they were so happy. You know why? They were thinking about others.
Yeah.
Others.
Yeah.
Now, I've decided this. You can decide it if you want to. I've decided that, folks, I've decided that happiness is not in the rest. Happiness is in the work. You know when I'm happy? When I'm happy? When I'm working. I've been off this last week, and I'm going to tell you, and it's been raining. I ain't been able to cut firewood. I ain't been able to split firewood. I ain't been able to haul firewood. I ain't been able to do nothing, but just nothing, hardly nothing. And I ain't happy sitting around doing nothing. TV don't make me happy. I mean, eating pizza every night don't make me happy. Movies don't make me happy. The thing that makes me happy is the work. The work, when you're busy and you're thinking about others and you're going to work on the job and you're working for your family, that's when you're the happiest. Happiness is not in the department stores. Happiness is in the hospital. Happiness is not in playing sports. Happiness is visiting the lost sinners. Happiness is not in the getting. Happiness is in the giving. Happiness is not in lighted places. Happiness is in dark places. So you can go be a light in that dark place. A bit of light to someone who lives in darkness is true happiness. Now in closing, my heart's desire is this. For you, God's people, to know joy and the excitement and the thrill of not living for yourself, but living for others. That'll get you through it. That'll get you through it. Years ago, the founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, he was the founder of that Salvation Army. They were having a big convention in London one year, and he couldn't come because he was ill. He was sick. It was the first time in all the years that he started the Salvation Army that he could not attend this great convention in London. He sent a telegram. He couldn't come, so he sent a telegram back in those days, and thousands were there at the assembly of the convention of the Salvation Army. A delegate from the convention got up with a telegram from William Booth and opened up the telegram from William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And he read, Dear delegates of the Salvation Army, others. That's all he wrote. One word. To all those thousands that were at that great convention in London. General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, sent one word, a one word message to all those delegates. Others. Others. That's what Jesus was saying here in verse 39. May I read it to you again? He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know what? That means I can have Christmas 365 days a year. All I got to do is think about others. That means come January the 1st, I can have Christmas January the 1st. I can have Christmas on Martin Luther King Day, praise God, if I want to. I can have Christmas on Flag Day. I can have Christmas on Groundhog Day. I can have Christmas 365 days a year. One word, others. Others. Forget yourself. The mark of pride is selfishness. Jesus said, you want to find life, what life is all about. You want abundant life. You want a life filled with excitement and with and thrills and joy and happiness. Jesus said, you lose your life. Forget what you want and think about what others need. Forget your needs. Forget all your desires and think about others. We can have Christmas 365 days a year.
Amen.
Hey, you say, somebody said today, said to me yesterday, said, well, how was Christmas? I said, I don't know. I'm still having Christmas. I asked many of you this morning, how was Christmas? I had a good Christmas, you know. And ate plenty of food, got everything you wanted, got some things you need and all those things, but you know what? I'm still having Christmas. As long as I think about others, I can have Christmas. As long as I can give to someone in need, I can have Christmas. As long as I can go to a rest home and take my little testament and open it up over our John 14 and read a Bible verse or say a word of prayer or sing a little old song or something or a little handshake or kneel in prayer and pray for it. Hey, I can have Christmas! Hallelujah! Merry Christmas, church! I can have Christmas. 365 days. You say you depressed? Nope. How come? I'm having Christmas. Amen, I'm having Christmas. You say you're gonna have the blues Monday morning? Nope, I'm gonna have Christmas. I'm gonna force myself to do something for somebody so I can have Christmas. Now I'm gonna tell you, I don't always like to do for others. I don't always like to be your servant, which I am. I'm your servant. I'm your pastor. I'm a servant. I'm not a dictator up here. I'm just a servant. I'm to serve you. And you know what? When I come visit you, just remember, preacher just wants to have Christmas. I just want to come to your house and have Christmas. I just want to go up to the hospital. When I visit you at the hospital, just remember one thing. Preacher's having Christmas. Hey, you have a need or something, I need to bring you a basket of food or something. Just remember, the preacher, he's just having Christmas. Amen. And you can too. You can too. Look, some of the most selfish people in this world are Christians. And it ought not be that way. It ought not be that way. We get so caught up with just eat, I, me, mine, myself. And all we can think about is just us. And you know what? The people who all they think about is just ourselves are the saddest people in this world. They're sad. They bail out. You know why people quit churches? They start thinking about themselves. I guarantee you, if you check your history book or your diary or whatever, you'll find that the happiest time, if you just go back in time, you'll find out that the happiest time that you ever were in your life when you were a servant to others. When you went to the rest home, when you went to the hospitals, when you picked up boys and girls on the bus, when you drove the bus, when you taught a Sunday school class, when you sung in a choir, when you became a servant, that's when you were the happiest. Jesus said, you want life? He said, right there it is there in verse 39. Lose your life for my sake. And you shall find what life is all about. I don't know about y'all, but I like Christmas. Don't y'all like Christmas? I do. I tell you, it's an exciting time. But you know what? I found out according to the Word of God, I can have it 365 days a year. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Yeah, I know that, but I want to be a crazy happy preacher, if you don't mind. Call me crazy, call me nutty, call me a fanatic, call me a fundamentalist, call me whatever you want to call me, but along with whatever you call me, put happy beside that because I want to be happy. I found out how to do that in God's Word. I found out how to be happy. That's having Christmas 365 days a year. Not Christmas Day, but the days before Christmas, all the things we do. Getting ready. The wrapping. The shopping. The spending. The working in the kitchen. The working in the tool shop. Busting your knuckles on screwdrivers and wrenches. For those bratty kids. That's when you're the happiest. You don't believe, it's wonderful. People look at me and they say, My wife and I, we went, I forget where we went one day last week. I took her somewhere and we had Katie with us. And some lady looked over at my wife. She said, ma'am, is that your granddaughter? We get that all the time. It don't bother us. I said, my wife looked at her after she punched her in the mouth. She said, no, ma'am. She said, with a big smile on her face, no, ma'am, that's my little girl. That's my little girl. Hey, I need it, man. What are you saying? I'm saying that a part of my life is giving my life to my wife and my children. I'm simply saying that the part of my life is me giving my life to you as a servant. Not as a dictator. I'm not up here to say, bless God, you better do. I'm not that. I'm just to be your servant. That's all I am. You walk in my study at my house, you'll see a little 8.5 by 11 frame picture, and it says that I wrote myself and I framed it. It said, dear Lord, help me be a servant to someone today. Why? Because I like Christmas. I want to have Christmas. You can too, 365 days a year. But wait a minute. There's something you got to do. You got to forget yourself. Forget your needs, for your wants. Think about others. You can have Christmas 365 days a year. You can have joy and happiness every day of your life if you want to. You say, preacher, I just don't believe that. Well, I do. I believe that, because all I got to do is I got to lose my life. I got to forget my selfishness. I got to lay that to the side. I got to keep pride out of my life. All these things, so I can have Christmas 365 days a year, and you can too. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed. I'm not going to have any music playing or singing, but I want us to bow our heads here this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning, would you purpose in your heart this morning? You may be depressed because Christmas is over, a little down and out. A little sad you got to go back to work tomorrow. Hey, have Christmas today. Go to that widow lady down there in your neighborhood that probably didn't hardly get anything for Christmas. Bake her a cake. Go to the rest home and go visit some of those folks in the rooms there. Go have Christmas today. That'll take care of the blues, I guarantee you. If it don't, you come back and I'll give you money back. If it don't, I guarantee you it'll do it, because Jesus said it would. You'll lose your life. You'll find it. Lose your life. You'll find life. That's what it's all about. Would you purpose in your heart this morning, say, dear Lord, help me, Father, to think about others. Dear Lord, help me not to live in such a selfish way. But Lord, in 1998, Father, would you help me to live for others? Help me to serve others. Help me to help others. Now, Father, I pray for everyone here this morning. Lord, I pray for those that are here, Lord, that need your strength, that need your guidance, that need your help. I pray, Father, you'd bless every one of them. Lord, I pray for that one that may be here this morning that's lost without you. Father, I pray that you'd save them before it's eternally too late. If you're here this morning, you're lost without Jesus Christ, right where you stand, would you just bow your heads and say, dear Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. And I guarantee you, according to the Word of God, God will save you and God will wash away all your sins. He'll save you this morning. He'll give you a brand new life this morning. He'll wash away all your sins. Maybe you're here this morning and you've wandered away from God. Your heart's gone cold and you've wandered back into sin. You're out in the world and you're away from God. You're away from your family. You're away from your church and you're out in the world. I want you to know, if you confess your sins, Jesus will be faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then those of you that are here this morning, you know God, you're walking with God and you love God and He's number one in your life. May you this morning purpose in your heart, say, dear God, dear God, help me to think about others. Lord, make me a servant. Lord, send someone my way that I can help, that I can encourage, that I can praise, that I can strengthen. Then I think when you've done that, I think Jesus is staying up in heaven. He's found life. He's found what life is all about. He's found out why I came to this earth and died on the cross. He's found out everything, what life is all about. Now, Father, I pray for everyone here this morning. I pray, Father, you'd bless those that are here. Bring us back tonight at 6 o'clock in our evening service. Continue to meet our needs, and we thank you for a wonderful time you've had here together with us. Would you bless us and keep us safe as we travel home? Thank you for those that are here, those that have visited here with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Just as I am.
nearing an end. The choir is singing just as I am. Now as the old song is played, people at the altar are kneeling down to pray. Some are finding mercy, forgiveness for their sin. Some are fighting battles, and they're struggling to win. The time has come to give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. And Jesus is waiting, friend. He's waiting here for you. Come quickly now, before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. The Father is praying with his Son, and a mother kneels beside them, thanking God they've come. And an old man is standing there in tears, giving up a part of him that he's held back for years. Hearts are being broken and lives are being changed. And those who call upon him now will never be the same. The time has come to give in to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. There's a love that's true. And Jesus is waiting, friend. He's waiting here for you. Come quickly now, before they close the door. And you can give your burdens to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for.
Big revival. gospel ending. Old time ways, sinners hurting, convert yearning, preach and learn, it's fire burning. He will hear us and be near us. It will warn them, it will turn them, it will save this old world from sin and shame. Let's go down to the river in the old time way. Let's go down to the river in the old time way. Let's go down to the river in the old time way. Sons and daughters, spirit and water, coming up shouting, no more doubting. He will hear us and be near us. We'll be given bread from heaven. Tell the story of his glory. It will warn you, it will turn you. Everybody shouting, nobody doubting. Everybody happy in the service of the Lord. Let us all go back to the old landmark. Let us all go back to the old landmark. Let us all go back to the old landmark. Let us stay in the service of the Lord. Gotta go back.
Gotta go back
to the old time way. Gotta
go back
to the old time way. Said you can't go.